give us, if you can, a few case history cases and kind of take us through the entire procedure, what they see, what's happening to them, and do it on a case, Yvonne, that I think you have found pretty compelling.
Well, I've had, I've had a couple cases that I have in my book. There's two of them, of double abductions. One of them is a case of two brothers from Knoxville, Tennessee, and I think this case really put it on the map for me because I worked with the one brother, and I can say their name because they've given me permission. It's in the book.
Okay. First names are fine. Just first names.
Jesse, and I worked with him for many years. He was in the film industry out here, and he talked to me about an incident that he remembered back in 1957 in Rogersville, Tennessee, where he and his brother were playing in the backyard in their sandbox, and he remembered there was a slight hill in the back of the backyard, and he remembered a man standing up at the top of this hill, and he said, for some reason, I grabbed my brother John's hand, and we walked up the hill, and it looked like this man had an axe in his hand. He was raising it as if he were going to throw it at these children, which doesn't make any sense. And that's where his memory stopped, conscious memory stopped. And when we did a regression, a couple of regressions on this, he described on the top of this hill this house, round house that was being built. And, of course, he was taken in, given a, examination, an alien-type medical examination, which maybe a lot of the listeners have been familiar with. But after about 30-some-odd years, his brother John called.
Now, 30 years?
After 30-some-odd years, and this is not unusual, George. This is not unusual. Jesse at the time lived out here, Burbank, California, and John called from Knoxville, Tennessee, where he lived with his family, wife and family, and just said, I've been thinking about that day too, because the brothers would talk, but Jesse never told them any type of detail, because he knew that he wanted to find out if this was real, and he didn't want his brother to know anything about his what he was doing in regression. And so John said, I want to find out if there was something that happened. We flew out, Jesse and I flew out to Knoxville, and I stayed in their parents' spare room. The whole Long family, Jesse and John's family, are just wonderful people. And I did a couple of regressions with John. But before I did, George, I have so many. I presented this at one of the MUFON International conferences I spoke in Austin, Texas, because I couldn't believe what I was experiencing myself. But there was a threat of rain that day. I was going to do his first regression, and John said, if you want to see my house, we better go out there, because if it rains, it's going to be hard to get out there, because it's out there in the middle of nowhere. It was in Raccoon Valley, Tennessee. He was building a round house. He just always wanted to live in a round house, and he's very, very talented with his hands, and he was building it himself. He did not hire a general contractor and crew. And Jesse didn't tell me too much about, what he was doing, but we took a trip out, and I took video and stills of this house, and I asked John, why did you want to build this? He goes, I don't know. I was just compelled to. But he started building this house, and he got the idea of building this house 10 years prior to Jesse looking into his, you know, the part of his case.
Sure.
And when I was out there, after getting a tour of the house, and it was not done yet, he also said, I forgot to show you, or Jesse said, I forgot, you know, we have to show you something. And this is what really, I think it shocked me, because John did not read anything about UFOs. He didn't care about, you know, UFOs. He just wanted to, you know, build his house for his family. But he brought out a 6-foot replica built to scale of a praying mantis. Now, I don't know if you know the significance of the praying mantis in this work, but a lot of people describe seeing one of the alien beings on board as being very, very tall, very spindly, and looking very insect-like. And they many times describe it as a praying mantis. And so I was very taken back, and I couldn't say anything about the research, because John had not had his first regression yet. And I didn't want to taint, you know, him and the case. So he had no idea of the significance. But we did his first regression, and he had the same conscious memory as Jesse. And I had this all on tape as well, and the transcripts, that he was talking about playing in the backyard. But he kept going back to when I would ask him a question, you know, and tell me the next thing that happens. He said he saw the band, but then he kept referring back to seeing this bullfrog and talking about the bullfrog. And I thought, okay, somehow this is telling me that his subconscious is blocking. He's not ready to, you know, to walk up that hill yet. But after going back and then taking them back, and questioning him again, and where are you, and what are you and Jesse doing, then he said, we started walking up the hill, and when they got up there, he started describing a round house that was being built, and of course, you know, eventually the round house became the craft.
Of course, a flying saucer.